Magandang Bis and Yong Lahat, and welcome to the Filipino American National News. I'm Alan Banju. On tonight's show, we have a very special show, actually a full house here in studio. I'd like to thank Leanna McLernan for helping set up this interview with members of the cast and production of a play that's taking place at the Park Square Theater in St. Paul. It's a play in collaboration with Theater Moo. It's a play by Anikita Raturi, 50 Boxes of Earth, which is running from February 27th through March 16th. As a person who's had his name always butchered in pronunciation, I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves and the relation to the play.
Hafaday and Mabuhay, this is Che Lee. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm playing Q in 50 Boxes of Earth by Anikita Raturi. Thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alex Gallick. My pronouns are he, him, and I am playing John Harker in our play.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alisa Tiber, and I'm part of the Nature Ensemble in the play.
Hello, my name is Kealoha Ferreira. I am the choreographic assistant.
And I'm Michelle DeHoya, and I am the assistant director and directing fellow for 50 Boxes of Earth.
And for our audience that is not familiar with the play 50 Boxes of Earth, can you guys kind of give us a general synopsis of what the play is about?
Yeah. 50 Boxes of Earth follows the migrant journey of Q, who comes from a faraway land to grow a garden and settle in and build a home for them and their family back in their homelands in this kind of America-adjacent place, community garden space, and is met with xenophobia, transphobia, while also befriending a future ancestor in a way, a young child named Harker, who is the xenophobic character John Harker's child. And so it follows kind of their dynamics moving through this community garden space and ultimately coming into conflict because of histories and clashing futurities. And it's also an adaptation of a queer adaptation of or queer response, I should say, to Dracula by Bram Stoker.
For our listeners out there, I mean, a lot of these topics are very hot button topics out there in, I guess, in society. And I think it's one of the great things about the theater community here in Minnesota is that I don't think it's always a conscious decision, but it's how weirdly sometimes things are quite timely and how they, a play comes out and it's something that's actually something that needs to be talked about or in a more in-depth way. And the unique version of telling a story that has roots in Bram Stoker's Dracula, but by telling it through a garden. From what I've heard, this play, the turnaround for this play to be put on stage was quite fast.
Yeah.
Than maybe the normal procedures of things.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. As the assistant director and directing fellow, I was one of the like later people added to the process. And I probably got added to the process back in October. And that is months ago. And for us to, like, people who aren't in the theater will probably hear that and think, wait, that's literally like 5-6 months in the past. Well, I can do math, right? How long ago was that? October, November, December, January. 4 months ago. That's how time works. But I was one of the last people added to this process, and it was already like so far in. So it took a long time to get together the main group of people. So obviously the playwright and then the director. We have two fantastic and amazing puppet designers, which has been like not a collaboration very commonly in theater. And our choreographer is at first, I think, is it the first time Ananya's worked with Theater Moo before?
So.
I think so.
In this capacity,
at least. So it's just the creative team took a long time to get together. So for it to be such a, I would say, like very like three-part heavy show, having text, having dance, and having puppetry, and for us to have put together starting the rehearsal process into the stage all within 1 month is a huge feat that I myself, as my first like professional directing project as an assistant director, was a little nervous about, but we pulled it off in an amazing way. And so it was very, very, very ambitious, and we accomplished it.
Yeah, Ankita calls it a maximalist endeavor, and so very much so on all fronts. We needed every single artist and collaborator in that room with us to make the magic happen the way that it wants to happen from the text onto the stage. So yeah, just stellar craft all around from everybody.
You speak of the magic. Theater Moo has been known for providing great visuals in their productions. You spoke of the puppetry and dance. How do you feel that the elements of puppetry and dance has enhanced this performance or this production?
Well, I'm happy to get it started. And then Alisa, you can also add as a core member of the Nature Ensemble, which was written and conceived to be an animated character, even and an embodied character inside of the play, even though they don't have any spoken word. And I think the role of movement, as I have witnessed it come to life in the production, is more so to remind us of the maybe material and physical ways our connections affect and change the world, and that our connections and how we relate to each other affect and change materially, like Earth and the landscape that we are on. Alisa, how has it been for you dancing that role?
It has been beautiful as well as equally challenging, because we have received a lot of notes just across the board from the directors, from the choreographers, from even the puppet designers. And I can say on behalf of the entire dance ensemble, it was a little bit of a learning curve initially, kind of figuring out how to move with the puppets in a way that we can actually embody what they represent in the story, rather than using them more so as a prop that we're interacting with. And what I really think that the Nature Ensemble kind of resembles within the scope of the story is that we are very much like physical aspects of the world building, as well as manifestations of the events that are happening, and even reactions within the characters themselves. So it's been a very expansive process that I have felt honored to do in many ways.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give everybody a little bit of a breather. I thought it was appropriate tonight, since the Oscars are taking place and I'm filled with people here who are actors, that we should play a song that was an Oscar-winning song by a Filipina, I believe 2 years ago. And that is from a Filipina by the name of Her, or
Okay Her,
otherwise known as
hey.
Gabby Wilson.
Oh my God.
But this is her song from the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, Fight For You. And once again, that was her with Fight For You. Just a reminder, our listeners, we have people that are part of the theater movie production of 50 Boxes of Earth that's taking place at the Park Square Theater in St. Paul from February 27th to March the 16th. Alex, it's been a while since you've been here on the show. I think this is like your third appearance.
Oh, man.
On the show. You kind of played the bad guy.
Yeah.
In this production. Mm-hmm. Where do you...
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that this is far from you as a person. So where do you draw inspiration to be... I guess I'm going to play the most cleanest word I can say online. On radio, a prick?
No idea. Goodness, how does one find it? Well, I mean, he doesn't think he's a bad guy. He just has, some hang-ups that don't work out so well for him or the people around him. And I think... The great thing about our antagonist is that his decisions, his choices come from a place of love for his daughter, but his actions belie that love. It betrays that love, and I think that's a paradox for our character, and something that allows us to dive in and really see a flawed individual here that is still very human.
I think sometimes that's the interesting thing about people who are flawed individuals is that sometimes when they fight for a stance, it's because they haven't moved outside their bubble and that's all they know. So it's a form of a protection. So to see through the course of the play, I've yet to see. I plan to see it before the play's done, to see how they hopefully evolve through the course of the play. This cast has come from all different parts of the U.S., from the South, from the Hawaiian Islands, to our person on the cast, Keola. Am I pronouncing correctly?
Kealoha.
Kealoha. Or we'll just go Kea, since my daughter has a similar name. You grew up in Hawaii, which is kind of, you know, it's diverse. It's Asian diverse. And you're involved in this play that kind of shows where there's a closed-mindedness of some people in terms of what's being portrayed on the stages. As a person who's growing up in that kind of environment and then being in a play where you can see the opposite, does it feel different to see something interpreted in that way from the way, say, you grew up?
Actually, one of the things that I came to really appreciate early on in the process and seeing the casting choices is, you know, Alex here as someone who is BIPOC, and all of the cast also being BIPOC, or all of the speaking cast being BIPOC too, is it hits really close to home because it reminds us of the ways in which we are also complicit in these narratives. And the ways in which fear can really creep back in really unsettling ways. The love that we feel and that sometimes I have even experienced closely, love that is, you know, extending to me and to future generations around in the sense of trying to protect, is oftentimes in conflict. So I guess to be a little bit clearer, like I'm reminded of the ways in which there can be discrimination, even in Hawaii, against other Pacific Island nations. Within the community, even though we're cousins, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Within the Filipino community, there's oftentimes a lot of close association with nationalism and be careful, Kealoha.
No swears.
No, be careful. And I say it carefully and with love because, you know, our ancestors, our grandparents, our parents, ourselves, I'm sure, there are all these stories of what it means to migrate and to find safety. We're complicit in all of these greater narratives right now that are being spotlighted, as you mentioned, Alan, beginning of today. It's not a black and white issue.
Yeah. Can I piggyback off?
Yes,
of that?
Please, Chaley.
Because everything that you're saying, Kea, and every time you say anything, I'm like, wow. I'm just like in the room with an ancestor schooling me. One of the magic things about this play is that it is speculative. It's not set in any kind of explicit nation state, whether that's the so-called United States of America or, you know, the territory that is Hawaii, you know, even though it is a quote-unquote state. That speculative, fictitious nature of the play kind of has gotten me to think about, like, okay, what do I mean when I say where I come from? This is where I come from. Like, I'm of much mixed blood, to say the least. I'm part Pinoy, but also part indigenous Chamorro. My dad is indigenous from a tiny island called Quahan. And I think what being a part of this piece has allowed me to explore is, like, okay, like, how do I get really specific about my roots that aren't about, like, nationalism, mm-hmm. or aren't about, like, oh, like, I'm from the Philippines, even though I've never been to the Philippines. Like, how do I claim a place that I've never been to? And I think something that's so beautiful is that we not only have to claim where we come from, but we have to claim where we're going. And that is, I think, the magic of speculative fiction, is that, like, how do you come from not just the history of a place and all of the contradictions that come with that history, but also, like, coming from a future of a place and, like, staking your practice, your commitments, like, however that shows up, whether that's land stewardship, theater making, podcast conversationing, like, how does that practice represent the kind of cyclical dynamic of time and place? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, yeah, nation states aren't real, mm-hmm. to say the very least. Mm-hmm. And I think that this play really gets that on the head, is that, like, to be from a place is actually such a dynamic, complex practice. It's not like a fixed thing. Mm.
It's really beautiful. So sorry, I'm piggybacking back to that comment too. And like, in the practicing that Chaley you're mentioning, we are also decolonizing, right? Mm-hmm. What it means, mm-hmm. to stake claim.
Yes,
we're refusing imperialistic and colonizing histories of staking claim to each other.
Of course. Absolutely.
And that's part of the necessary futuring and the necessary, I think this place speaks to the necessary ways in which puppetry and dance, mm-hmm. and, like, multidisciplinary practice is needed in being able, multidisciplinary practices are needed in order for us to create newly created ways of world building together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're coming quite close to the end of tonight's program. I'd like to thank everybody for taking time in to come to the show, especially there was a staging of the play this evening, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did it. Yeah, this afternoon. Ooh.
I still got my gray hairs in, so.
I still got my makeup on.
Before we go, is there anything that you guys would like to say that you hope at the end of this run of the play that the audience will get out of the play? You know, what is there a meaning out there for them?
I would say I'm a big, big, big believer that all good theater does not tell a message, but asks you a question. And so if you're ever leaving the play just saying, oh, that was fun, pat yourself on the back and go about your day and not think about it anymore, then I think we did something wrong. So instead of us telling you what to think, I hope it invites you to ask yourself a lot of questions going out of the theater. So that's, I won't, personally, as an assistant director, I don't want to tell anyone what the meaning of the show is, but I hope that they watch the show and they are then challenged to ask themselves more questions about how they are, like Kayla has said, like, complicit, and also, like, the stories that they have, ask themselves where they're from, mm-hmm. ask themselves where they're planting their roots and how they are contributing growth in lots of other places in their lives and other people's lives. So, yeah. Mm.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming in tonight's program. Once again, 50 Boxes of Earth will be at the Park Square Theater from February 27th through March the 16th. So still got a lot of time to catch the play before it comes to an end. But for right now, we are going to play our final song of the evening. It is from an artist by the name of Feta, and the name of this song is entitled Sugat. Stay tuned for sound effects.
Sa akin, di naniwala sa sarili mo. Bakit isa lang buhay mo? Kaya kalimutan mo na yan. Ang dami mo pagkakataon, kaya ibaon mo na sa limot. Tabunan man ng lupa, tutubo. Dahil ikaw ang punla, huwag matatakot sa mangyayari sa'yo. Kinausap na matagal ang sarili, hirap pa din pumili. Sa tagal kong dalangiti na lang iaharap para walang sisire. Walang nakakaalam, ilang buwan na lang. Sikreto mapait, huwag ka nang kakapit. Bumitaw sa pagkaligaw. Harapin mo na walang mawawala. Kung aamin, kesa itulak mo papalayo. Itong paulit-ulit na payo. Nalim na sugat ang bumoto sa aking mga nadatnan. Pumuhos mga luha sa hagdan. Nagbabakasakaling mahagkan. Manalim-lalim na sugat ang bumoto sa aking mga nadatnan. Pumuhos mga luha sa hagdan. Nagbabakasakaling
It'll be Minnesota Mardi Gras when blues legend Marsha Ball and her band storms the Parkway Theaters Thursday, March 6th.
With her latest album, Shine Bright, Marsha Ball brings her signature Texas boogies, swampy New Orleans ballads, and Gulf Coast blues to a whole new category.
Tickets for Marsha Ball can be found at the Parkway Theaters website. Visit theparkwaytheater.com for more details.